This is just a quick shout out to the younger people, people who would normally be in kids' church or morning rev. We're going to play a game during this sermon, and it's a game that I learnt when I was at Moore College. I don't know if they had this game for you in the chapel, Matt. It's called Sermon Bingo. Okay, so what you have to do is, I've got some bingo cards here, boys and girls. I'm going to give them to you, right? And you have to listen for certain words in the sermon. And when you hear that word, you circle it, okay? And when you've got them all circled, the first three people who go, "Praise the Lord," will get one of these Freddo frogs. And for everyone who completes, there is also a smaller prize. But the first three, okay, you could jump up if you wanted to, but, you know, just, you know, "Praise the Lord." And at Moore College Chapel, that really sets you out there, I can tell you. So, Matt, here are the sermon bingo cards. If you could, boys and girls, just put your hand up if you would like to play sermon bingo. Everyone else is saying, "Can I play too?" Yeah, Rob Arrow wants to play. He's keen for the chocolate. You should have a pen because you were given one when you came in. So listen for those words in the sermon. You listen for those words and see if you can. And no peeking at the person next to you, by the way, either. Okay? All right, I think we're ready. Friends, please open your Bibles at 1 Peter 1. That's where we'll be looking. And let me pray for us as we begin. There's one more contestant for sermon bingo there. Yeah, good. Right, he's ready. Our God and Father, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, you are our great God who is not silent, who does not hide himself from us, but you make yourself known in many and various ways, principally through your Son. And we have also your written word to us, and through it you reveal yourself. Father, grant us a clearer picture this morning of how great you are, all that you've done for us, that we might rejoice in you the more. So we praise you for this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Other than Bible bingo, what is it that actually causes you to kind of shout out, "Praise God"? Are there things in your life that do that? What is it in which you greatly rejoice and exult? Now, for the people under the age of 30, to exult means that you go, "Woohoo!" Okay, so what is it that makes you go, "Woohoo!" When are you filled with inexpressible joy? When are those times for you? Our passage today actually leads us to those kinds of expressions. Before we look at the passage, though, it'll help us if we know a little bit about this letter. We're reading the first letter of Peter, the first epistle of Peter. And if we know about his life a little, where he is as he writes, it'll help us. Most likely, Peter wrote this from Rome, around about 65 AD. Emperor Nero is on the throne. And very soon, he's going to begin a systematic persecution of Christians. He's going to start in Rome, and this persecution is going to spread across the empire. Peter himself is right in the middle of Nero's radar as he writes. Elsewhere in the letter, Peter talks about suffering injustice, enduring fiery trials. Soon, Nero will have Peter crucified upside down. These are the circumstances in which Peter writes, "Praise be to God. In this you greatly rejoice and exult." Woohoo! "You are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy." What would cause that kind of a response for you? What would cause that? Well, for Peter, it is because he writes to Christians who've been given a new birth into a living hope, which is an inheritance that is certain and protected. Do you see verse 3 in your Bible there? 1 Peter 1, verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. So Peter writes to Christians who have been given a new birth into a living hope, which is an inheritance that is certain and protected. The new birth that he refers to is the event whereby someone becomes a Christian. You see, you're not automatically a Christian. You've got to come in God and you've got to ask him. It says in another place in the Bible, by the way, that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's great news, isn't it? So all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Great promise. There's no doubt about it. But you've got to ask. And what you are given when you ask is new birth, a spiritual birth. Now, when a baby is born, it's born into a new world, isn't it? A new reality. For a start, they're probably born into a family. There's going to be a mum and a dad. Maybe there's some siblings. There's a new home that that baby, if the baby wasn't Steph's and was born at home anyway, but you know, you come home from hospital and you might come home to a mansion in Manly, or you might come home to a cardboard box in Calcutta. You're born into something, into a new reality. What is the Christian born into? A living hope. Now in the Bible, the word hope, when it's a noun and not a verb, means a future certainty. It's what we've got coming to us. If you've been spiritually born, you've been born into a future reality, a hope. And that is a living hope. It's real and it's enduring. It's not static and stale and dead and boring. It's a living hope which you have been born into. Verse 4 tells us a little bit more about this future reality, and it actually sort of explains it and says that it's an inheritance. It is an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. It's kept in heaven for you. It's there now waiting for you. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You were just born into that inheritance. I noticed recently that the Aussie Queen of Denmark gave birth to twins. And if you're going to get born into an inheritance, this is the kind of one that you want to be born into. You're born into this. Presumably you get a royal title, Prince so-and-so. Maybe a big house or a castle, and maybe you get lots of money and you're famous. You might be only tiny, but the moment you are born, you're suddenly incredibly wealthy and important. That reality is true for them, but true for us in a much more profound way. We are born into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. We're like little kids now that have got to grow up in order to really experience that inheritance, to really grasp it and understand it. What do babies do to deserve an inheritance? Nothing. They're just born into it. A Christian is like that, spiritually born into a hope, a reality that can't be squandered, it can't be lost, it's not going to decay. And when you're talking inheritance, that's something to think about, isn't it? Now, it's no good being born into an inheritance that's all locked up in Greek bonds or in, you know, the stock market. Who knows what that, you know, even if your inheritance is locked up in gold bars, what if someone breaks in and steals those gold bars? They're gone. And so is gone. Your inheritance is gone too. For the Christian, that is not a concern. Because it says in the text there, God guards and guarantees our inheritance in heaven. That's what it says in verse 4. So here's Peter, probably locked up in jail. He's writing to Christians with great joy because they share the same wonderful future. And I wonder, do you have that hope? Is that your destiny? Is that where you're headed? If you've not been born into this new future, then all you need to do is ask God for it. He gives all those who call on his name will be saved. If you have been born into this new hope already, have you given God thanks for that? Do you live a life of gratitude, recognizing, wow, there is something coming for me that is inexpressibly wonderful, a living hope? Today is a great day to express our joy and our thanks and our gratitude to God that He's given us this new birth into a living hope. Next thing that Peter writes about, which he knows brings joy inexpressible, he says, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see it in verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, though you've not seen him, that is, you haven't seen Jesus, the people that Peter is writing to probably have never seen Jesus face to face. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter has been talking about this future hope which brings great joy. But now he also talks about the present. The things which bring great joy even now. Even though we might experience all kinds of hardships and sufferings of many kind, because of our new birth we have this inheritance, but in the present time we experience that by faith. And this faith, as it is refined and tested and proven in the present situation, whatever it be, is in fact the substance of a very real relationship with Jesus Christ. It is this relationship that brings us such joy. Joy inexpressible. Peace that is glorious. Right now, we don't see Jesus, do we? But by faith, we know he's there and we love him. We don't see Jesus, but our relationship with him is no less real. It's a relationship that uses faith as its medium, if you like. It's a relationship that brings joy, fulfillment, satisfaction. Joy is different to happiness, isn't it? Joy is very different to happiness. Joy lasts, it endures, even through the hard times. Happiness, it comes and it goes. And it sort of depends on circumstances, doesn't it? You might be healthy, or you might not. And you might be wealthy, or you might be poor. You might be surrounded by family and friends, or you might feel very alone. Life changes, doesn't it? Happiness comes, happiness goes. But joy is deeper, it is better, it is richer, and it doesn't change. In Christ, no one can take your joy from you. They can't touch it. Nothing can be taken from you. You can't lose it. You've come to know and love the author of life, the ruler of the universe, the one who loves you. And we're used to conducting relationships today by telephone, I think. For the back row, that's what they had before Facebook. Okay, you know that, right? Maybe you have a family member who lives in another country, maybe far away from Australia. You don't see that person. You can't touch that person, but you know they're there and you can talk with them, you can relate with them through all kinds of means. We still interact, we still share friendship. We are bound together, though we can't see or touch the other person. Well, faith is like the telephone line. It connects us with God. We talk to him on the basis that he hears, just the same as we would speak to anybody else on the phone or whatever. Know that they are there. I wonder, would you like a relationship with God that provides joy that is so rich you can't express it? It's sort of beyond words. Would you like that? Maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but you've never really got going in that sort of a friendship. Maybe you're brand new to this. Maybe you just want to be sure of that. That friendship with God. If you want to enjoy that kind of intimacy with God, then beginning that is very simple. It goes a lot further, but it begins with this. Give God thanks. Give God thanks for all that you've got, for all that you've enjoyed. Thanksgiving is fundamental to any relationship. Give him thanks that you're here today. You've been reminded of where you stand. Oh yes, I am one who's been born into this new hope, this living birth, this wondrous future. Give thanks for everything that led up to this day. You're here now. What brought you here? What trials have you been through? and you survived, and you're still here. What hardships perhaps you've got stronger through. Who knows what it would be? God has been faithful. You are not defeated. You have not been overcome. You are here, and your inheritance awaits you. No one can touch it. Now, in this friendship with God, you can tell him your worries and your troubles, and you can tell him what makes you go, woohoo. This is a great place to be. This is the basis of our friendship with God. Whatever else you might be wanting to give thanks to God for today, I want to remind every person here that your joy, that which lasts, begins and ends in relationship with Jesus Christ, and this is only because he has given you new birth into a living hope and an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade and is better than Cadbury chocolate. We've got three winners. Well, let's praise the Lord and give God great thanks. Our God and Father, we thank you for allowing us to be born into a living hope, a wonderful inheritance that can never be stripped away, that will never devalue, but that is secure with you forever in heaven. Thank you for those who are around us this day, whom we share that inheritance, that joy, that living hope with. Thank you for each one. Lord, we want to express our gratitude to you in so many ways. We rejoice in this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now the first three, I saw those leaping out of their chairs. They will receive their Cadbury chocolate now. Others who have a complete sermon bingo card can see Kate afterwards for something yummy as well.